Hey y'all, welcome to the 38th episode of Overcaffeinated. Today I am with my new friend Christina. Introduce yourself, Christina.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Christina. I'm going to go into like a more formal intro. Or...
Sure, whatever you want.
Sure. So I have been working in marketing, social media, PR for honestly for 5 years now. And I currently work at a PR digital marketing firm based out of Boston, where I manage social media accounts on behalf of national brands. I manage influencer campaigns for big brands as well. I do a lot of content production and commercials. So a lot of fun stuff in that realm. And then on the side, I do a lot of freelance photography, and I think we'll talk more about the TikTok stuff as well, but that's a little about me.
Yeah, so I met Christina via TikTok, and then you guys are starting to get a trend. The last few people I've had on, I've met on TikTok, and it's really cool because I've found these girls that have similar interests as me. I found you on my For You page. You kept popping up. I followed you when you didn't have much of a following at all, and you started this series of like how do you phrase it? You intro with it every single time, which I think is a total key to your series. And I love it.
So my intro on TikTok that I, like you said, I kind of realized that when I start videos with this intro, they just blow up.
Yeah.
When I say I hire influencers on behalf of national brands, and these are my tips, X, Y, and Z. So the videos that I create are really geared towards helping influencers of all sizes, whether you're a tiny nano influencer or you're a mega influencer, really be successful and book brand partnerships. I always say that I've hired over 200 influencers on behalf of these brands. And so because I work in an agency and I work with a ton of different brands and a ton of different industries, I'm able to provide a really unique perspective. You know, there's a lot of influencers out there who are sharing tips to their peers and, you know, to influencers who are younger than them. But I think kind of my videos are different because I'm the one who you're conversing with, who you're emailing to, who you're pitching yourself to. I'm the one drafting the contracts and kind of signing the checks. So I love being able to share my knowledge because I feel like I haven't really been able to find anyone else doing what I'm doing. So it's been really exciting, and the response from the TikTok, and honestly, it's kind of spiraling into Instagram and Clubhouse and all of that. It's been really overwhelming.
Yeah, no, and that's why I really specifically loved your content, because I'm one of those, I'm not considering myself an influencer whatsoever, but my personal Instagram I have like 2,800 followers, which like for an average Instagram, it's like, all right, that's enough where like smaller brands might be like, hey, you have enough, you can have enough reach to reach whoever. But like, I don't know why recently I've had a few brands just like but they emailed me. They didn't DM me. So I was like, interesting. Like I looked into it more. I won't even say what brand because I haven't posted anything about it yet. But they're like, we're just going to send you all this stuff. It was a skincare brand. I'd never heard of them, but like they were legit. They had a good following. I started like doing some research. You can buy their stuff at Ulta and whatever. So I was like, all right, this is like kind of cool. And so I got everything sent to me and I like reached out. I haven't really gotten a follow up on like what they want as like a requirement, but I'm not getting paid, but I got all this free stuff and I'm all right with that. But I just really like your page because you kind of delve deeper into that. Like, how do you turn something that's like, all right, we're just going to send these PR boxes out for free to something that's paid, you know? And I feel like that's where like you take that next step, you know?
Yeah, I think what I've loved doing is helping those influencers who are really small, or the people who are like, I'm not an influencer, but I want to be one. Where do I start? And I have so many videos that I've created, but there's also so many in the works that have come from people who have reached out and said, can you make a video on this? Can you make a video on this? And I was a marketing communication and graphic design major in college. And so I really came from that, you know, prepared me to go into the advertising PR field.
Yeah.
But I also always wanted to be a teacher. And I finally feel like I found something that I can teach, but I'm really passionate about and I know a lot about. So
yeah,
it's really been a lot of fun and a really great just kind of hobby, you know?
Yeah, that's so awesome that you're able to get that like fulfillment out of something that's so natural to you that like you're like, I'm just gonna try this for fun. Was there like anything that really inspired you to like start? Like, did you just wake up one day and say, hey, like I should share this stuff? Or like, was there any like key thing that really inspired you?
There was. So one day I was trying to figure out where this influencer was located.
Yeah.
And some of my campaigns are specific to a city, a state, or region, just based on the client and their goals. And I couldn't figure out where she was, but I needed to know where she was because of the campaign. And I was like, I was talking to my coworker. I was like, I need to like make videos where, or I need to make a video telling the influencers of the world, like put your location in your bio.
Yeah.
And so that was the first video I made and it did really, really well. And then I was like, okay, maybe I should make more tips. And I've since created a couple dozen-ish or so. People have really loved them. I love talking to people and answering questions, and people will DM me and it honestly takes me a couple hours to get through my DMs when I post a new video, because it's like there's a lot going on. And but it's been a lot of fun.
And was there like, when did you start doing this and how have you grown since? Like, was there, I know you do this series, but was there a specific video in the series or a certain point where you were like, all right, this is like really gaining traction and like you were, the TikTok algorithm was working with you?
Yeah. So if it's, today's March 9th. So I started making my videos the end of January of this year.
Okay.
So January 2020, I started making the videos and I started noticing by the first week of February, so only doing it for about a week or two, things were really just like taking off. And I only have like almost 3,000 followers at this point, which isn't a lot in the TikTok realm, but I was noticing like just consistent growth, like, and lots of like highly engaged people and the same people commenting over and over and the same people DMing me. And I just noticed that I was building this community. And as somebody who is looking for influencers to hire, I know the power of community. And whether your community is, you know, 500,000 or it's 2,000 people, there's so much power in community. And I love that I can help this group of people. And when I go on TikTok live, the same people join and then those people kind of become friends and they follow each other and we all kind of converse. And then we all hop over to Clubhouse and we all will talk and they all become friends. And I love that, I kind of view this as like a small, but very mighty community.
Yeah.
And I also try to harbor this culture of, you know, we're a community and there's no competition and we can help each other.
Yeah.
And I'm not an influencer, so I can't speak from, you know, an influencer's perspective.
Right.
But, I think, you know, my perspective has been able to help so many people, no matter what stage they are in their influencer journey.
Yeah. I love how you talk about community, because I've definitely found that in the podcast world. Like, I've made a large podcast community, and I think whatever your niche is and whatever you're really into, those people are like your biggest asset, and a lot of people like don't think about that. Sorry, my mom. Oh, do you want to come here? Everyone, Geneva, my pup, is back and she wants to podcast with us because I'm at home. But what I was saying about community, I've also found a lot of people via Clubhouse, and I want you to kind of talk about how you utilize Clubhouse. I have definitely not utilized it as much as I'd love to. I think once I graduate in the spring, I'll definitely be able to have more time to like dedicate to that, because it's hard to just like put myself in a room and have no distractions. Because I do like it, because it is like podcasting, but just live. And you don't have to show your face. And some people are more likely to want to talk, where I think is really cool, because a lot of people, especially on Instagram Live, you can comment something, but that doesn't mean that the comment is going to go through. It doesn't mean that anyone's going to see it. So I just want to hear a little bit about your experience with Clubhouse.
Yeah. So the reason I started Clubhousing is because I was doing TikTok lives, and I was, like you were kind of saying with IG Live, is people are commenting and you're talking to them and you're answering their questions, but it takes a while because by the time you see their question, you respond, and then there's like more questions coming.
Yeah, it's like all delayed and it's like kind of awkward. Like,
exactly. And so I was like, guys, and I like talked to there's like 10 people on live with me.
Right.
I'm like, should we make a Clubhouse? Like, would you guys be in my club? I didn't really know much about Clubhouse at the time.
Yeah.
And I started doing it, and it just kind of was so organic. And now I have this format where I start with a guest each week and we'll kind of talk and have a conversation. This week I'll have this woman named Melissa on. She actually used to be on Nickelodeon. And then
oh, cool.
I have another influencer booked for the following week. So we're going to open it up with a different influencer and kind of talk about their journey. Then we're going to audit somebody's account together. And then from there, we'll open it up to the floor to do a Q&A. And it has been so much fun.
That sounds so fun.
It's kind of like a live podcast.
Yeah.
So I definitely am excited to dig into it more.
So you do this weekly, do you have a specific day you do it or does it fluctuate days?
Yeah. So I do it Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
And I'm usually live for probably about a little over an hour. But yeah, it's really exciting. And I love TikTok and Clubhouse, which is so funny because like they're some of the two newest platforms out there.
Right.
But I think they're really powerful ones, especially again, to build community. They're definitely key places that I think all influencers should be right now. I've been able to pull people from Clubhouse and TikTok over to my Instagram. So it's really cool to see how they all kind of connect.
Yeah, and Clubhouse, I know TikTok has like the little Instagram like button that you could click. Well, because right now I don't have 1,000 followers on TikTok to put a link yet. So I've been really trying to utilize, like, I'll say like link in my Instagram description, which I feel like is so like tedious, but I gotta work to get to that point. I definitely don't put as much time and effort into TikToks. And like, so when you were starting TikTok, did you post like how they say post like multiple times a day and like do the whole thing?
Yeah. So for February, I was posting, I mean, it wasn't like on an exact schedule, but I sometimes was posting like up to 3 times a day.
Yeah.
At least several times a week, but sometimes like if it was a weekend and I had extra time, I'd just film and get them out the door.
Right.
And so I definitely think that creating a high volume of videos on TikTok helps drive success.
Yeah.
Drives people into the kind of community, it's the magical word of today.
Yeah.
And so they want to follow you. But I think TikTok is really great. And I've seen other creators talk about this. But I think TikTok is great to entertain, educate, and inspire people. And I think my realm really falls into education as well as somewhat inspire.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Because I'm able to tap into both of those, I think it's really set me up for success. So that's advice that I'd give to anyone really wanting to succeed on TikTok, is to fall into one of those categories. I mean, I can think of the really funny TikTokers off the top of my head. I can think of the educational ones as well as like the travel ones who inspire you to want to go different places.
Yeah. And I love how you kind of put them in those three categories, because that helps creators kind of be like, all right, I want to talk about like you do your series. I kind of started a series of like things I wish I knew before I started podcasting. That'd be more under like educational. Whereas like I have other ones that I've made that like I kind of think they're funny, but they're not like that funny, you know? So like, but that also, those haven't done as well as these educational ones. So you kind of have to like look and see. So it's nice to hear that, like, although you have to have that niche of like what you want to do, you still can do other things. Just make sure it falls under a certain category. And like you're speaking in a lot of your TikToks. Do you notice a difference if you put like a trending sound behind it or not, and like all of that stuff too? Because like sometimes I'm like, I don't even want a sound with it. I really just would rather speak to my audience instead of like music distracting it, you know?
Yeah, I do try to use trending sounds. It's really hard to tell if they really do work or not. I've forgotten to put them in my videos before and I haven't noticed too much of a difference. Like they all, my videos tend to get like at least 1,000 views each.
Yeah.
But I do think what's successful in videos that I've noticed is adding like images that pop up on the screen or showing visuals. So like when I did the first video where I said, add your location to your Instagram bio, I actually showed influencers, some of which they had worked with, some of which I just follow. I actually showed and pointed to it. Like, this is where you add the link. This is where you add your location.
Yeah.
And those actually tend to do better than the ones where I'm just talking to camera. I think when there's different media popping up on the screen and there's quick cuts and things are just moving quickly, you retain people's attention. So those videos obviously take more time to create because you have to add in, there's more video editing involved, yeah. But I do think sprinkling those in here and there is kind of key to making your videos kind of blow up, and then you kind of have your easier ones to create where you're just talking to Cam.
Yeah, I also like that on your videos you add like the closed captioning as well. That's something I want to evolve into because like half the time, especially like if I'm putting the TikTok on like Instagram Reels per se, I don't always have the sound on. And I personally, like even when I watch TV, I love having the captions on. I like being able to read what I'm learning at the same time, like what I'm listening to. And so I really like that you add the captions because you never know, like if people are in public and they don't have the sound on or if they're doing whatever, just, you know, people are comprehending what's going on because you're writing it out, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes like at night, like I will just kind of listen to it. I will just kind of watch and not listen.
Right.
So I don't know. You're right. It's in public. It's at night. There's many circumstances that people just can't hear. So it's many opportunities for people to just read it and then be able to consume that content instead of just scrolling on by. So I definitely would recommend people close caption their videos. I have heard that it is better to actually type it out in the app instead of using a third-party app. Like, I've tried using, like, the captions app.
Yeah.
And again, this is no foolproof way, but I've heard that TikTok prioritizes videos that have the captions because they can actually read the words you write and then serve it to people that those words kind of pertain to. So if I'm writing influencer out three times in the video or content or video or creation, like it's going to go to people who kind of align with those words.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that because I wanted to ask you, I don't know why I haven't asked this to any other TikToker that I've had on yet, but because I've noticed it. And so I definitely think it's a thing. So they say like, oh, if you're watching a video and it's like there's no captions and there's no sound and whatever, this is for you, blah, blah, blah. But like, depending on what the content is about, those letters, it's like a caption. It's like a hashtag. It's like TikTok's way of like filtering through stuff. It's like an extra added thing that like the average person probably would just look over, but it's definitely part of their algorithm. So it's nice to hear someone else be like, they like their own, like they want you to physically work and type it out instead of like have that app just do the captions for you.
Yeah, I think we're all just trying to figure out what TikTok wants and how to game the system. But I think that's just a rule of thumb for all creators and influencers to just constantly be trying new things and not be complacent, like, oh, this works, I'm going to just do this for the next 6 months. Like, we do a lot of A/B testing at the agency that we manage social media accounts for. So we'll test like a photo versus a video, and we'll test a graphic versus a video. And we're constantly switching things up.
Yeah.
And that's why analytics are so important to us. So my advice is to just constantly be trying new things, putting yourself out there, and just kind of seeing what sticks.
Yeah. Like, I've definitely been having that struggle with Reels recently. Some people are saying, post it to your feed. Some people are saying, don't post it to your feed. Some people are saying, add a cover. Then some people aren't saying, add a cover. Some people are saying, create it in Reels. But then recently I found the app to take the watermark off the TikTok. And I definitely like that better because I like making it in TikTok better than making it in Reels. But that's just my own personal opinion. But I'm like, it's funny because me and my one podcasting friend, Sam, we text each other literally every day about it. Like, our reel didn't do good, or like our reel is blowing up. Like, what's going on? Like, what did you do? What's the next thing? And we send each other this stuff that these people are posting. And like, it's really all just trial and error because I've tried to ask as many people as possible. And it's funny because it just is a topic that keeps popping up in my last like 3 to 5 episodes. Like, we're like, so what's the new like thing that we got to do? And everyone's like, there just isn't a thing anymore. Like, we just have to see what the apps push out because they're just choosing on their own now. I feel like the algorithms are like slowly like either washing away or they're just being changed constantly because they don't even know what they want either, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I wish there was some sort of rule book where we could all just be like, and this is what to do. But they definitely keep you on your toes, those platforms.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. So now after talking about all the different platforms, let's just focus in a little bit more on influencers themselves and what you do with influencers. So like, what made you want to start working with influencers? You work in like PR and advertising, and there's so many different entities within that. I'm looking for jobs within that right now. And I was really interested to pick your brain about that because influencers are so, they're not new, but they're new to like the business world, really, where like these agencies are having all these people just dedicated just to influencers. And it's just like funny even trying to like describe that to my parents. They're like, what do you mean? It's this whole new thing that they, because influencers used to just be celebrities, not everyday people. And I just think that's such a interesting element to all of this. So what was your like reasoning, or like how did you start really working with influencers?
Yeah, so when I started at my current role, right away, my boss just was like, okay, you're going to manage these influencer campaigns. And I had direction from my managers who kind of taught me and showed me the ropes. I actually worked with this girl, her name's Andy, and she since has left the agency that I work for, but she's actually an influencer herself.
Oh,
her name
that's
is
so cool.
At Doses of Calm, and she's actually going to be on my Clubhouse in a few weeks, which is so exciting. To kind of reconnect with her. But anyway, she's the one who I would sit at my desk, she would sit at her, and I'd be like, hey, like, how do I reach out to an influencer? She's like, I'll send you a sample email. This is how you reach out to an influencer.
Yeah.
And like, she really showed me the ropes. She showed me how to draft contracts. She showed me what to look for. And then I just kind of started to learn the process by doing it. And so I have since worked with so many different brands, and I am the resident influencer person. I've been called the influencer wrangler at the agency.
I love that.
Like if there's an influencer campaign, it ends up on my desk in some capacity, whether I'm the one researching or I'm overseeing people who are doing the researching, drafting contracts, emailing influencers, emailing their agents. I do every point A to B to A to Z rather, of working with influencers. So when I signed up for the job, I didn't necessarily know that was involved. I knew I was signing up for a associate account executive. But I've since been promoted a few times, which is exciting. Now I still do a lot of the content production and social media management, but influencers is what I mainly do on a daily basis.
Oh, that's so cool. That like is like opening up this like can of worms for me for like job searching and like looking at stuff, because the fact that these agencies are doing this and like, this is like a legit, that's just like so cool to me, because as I've been podcasting and like growing that community, I've also like found influencers, and I like to reach out to influencers for them to come on to the podcast. So I just think it's cool that we can be in an even added bonus where I'm working with the brands as well and learning about that. And despite of all like your tips and everything, and you wouldn't consider yourself an influencer, you're more of the recruiter. I love how at your work they call you like the influencer wrangler. I just think that's hilarious. That is just like the cutest thing ever. You're probably like, oh, I hate that, but I just like love that.
I think it's so funny. I have an awesome boss. She just like, she calls me an organizational wizard, influencer wrangler. Like I just am called these like really fun names. And I love it. I think it makes work fun when you have a boss that sort of embraces that. So it's funny.
That's so cool. I love that. All right. So from the influencer wrangler, by using your tips, so say like someone found you, they're trying to be an influencer. By using your tips, do you think like nowadays, because if you do the work and you do X, Y, Z to become an influencer, do you really think like nowadays, like anyone could really become an influencer if they put the right steps into it? Or is there certain like limitations, you know?
My honest opinion is I do think there's room for everyone in the industry. I mean, there's, my boyfriend's a pilot, so I also follow some like pilot influencers. Like,
yeah.
There's pilot influencers, and then there's the traditional like fashion and beauty and wellness. And then there's influencers who talk about like holistic living, and there's cigar influencers, and there's just like influencers everywhere.
That's so cool.
And all brands have marketing budgets, whether they're small or large. And I think there's a stat that like 70% of companies are allocating money towards influencers. So these brands have money. And if you're the right fit for their products, they'll hire you.
Yeah.
And that said, if you do follow the tips, I mean, I don't have like a comprehensive A to Z.
Right.
But I think that's something that I would love to do. Maybe create like an online course.
Yeah.
Which I know is really popular. If I like did that and it was really laid out and you followed it to a T, I genuinely think you can be a successful influencer.
Yeah.
There's obviously not an exact rule book and you have to work what's best with you. But I'd say my overall tips is if you are creating high quality content, that's a big thing. Not only that brands want you to post quality content for you to post on your channel so that people like it and want to engage with it and maybe swipe up and follow your link, but also brands have money that they will then pay you so that they can own those assets. So instead of going to a photographer or an in-house photographer who's working on a website project, who's working on new product photos, and they're doing all these other things, they'll outsource it to an influencer, pay them to create assets that they can use in their website, their email marketing. So that's a huge thing, is creating high quality content.
Yeah.
And a kind of an offshoot of that is really investing in your education. There's a lot of free resources out there that you can use your iPhone. You can use a cheap camera. It doesn't have to be a super expensive mirrorless camera with all those lenses. If you do that and you create high quality content, it's like, that's my best piece of advice.
Yeah.
Posting consistently, and then kind of just following all of the other tips. I genuinely do think that anyone has the ability to do it. They really have to be committed.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like even with like the TikTok stuff too, if you want to get into it, you have to be consistent. And like in my last episode, we were talking about how like taking like your personal Instagram and shifting it into more of like a business account and sharing different content, and then also overcoming like your organic followers that have been following you for however long might not be interested in this content anymore. I don't know if you've had any people that have overcame that, but like I really wanted to ask you, how have you seen any, like personally, as like your time working in this industry, have you seen like these, you said nano influencers, I wrote micro influencers, but I feel like nano is even smaller, like a nano influencer turn into then a micro influencer and larger and larger and larger. Have you been able to see anyone, you don't have to list a name, but have you been able to see that like transformation due to like these campaigns?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen people start out as, whether if they're a nano influencer and they're under 10K followers and they've grown to like 50,000 followers. Or I've seen people at 50,000 grow to like 200,000 over the past 2 years that I've kind of been working with people. Influencers are constantly growing, but I've also, honestly, I've seen influencers kind of stay the same where, you know, they only have like 20,000 followers and they're just maintaining.
Yeah.
Or I've seen influencers kind of decrease. And so I think a lot of times people can get kind of hung up in followers. But if you have a small audience, say you only have 15,000 followers, but you have a really high engagement rate and you have a sense of community and people are leaving really thoughtful, engaged comments on your posts, it does not matter how many followers you have.
Yeah.
Because if your content is strong, your engagement rate is strong, brands are still going to pay for you. And, you know, you might charge less, but instead of having you just post one time, and they might have you post three times because you're less expensive.
Right.
So it all kind of evened out, and I definitely would encourage people to not focus on their followers and definitely focus on your engagement rate, because it really doesn't matter how many followers you have. I could be given $200,000 from a brand and they could say, okay, we want to work with 10 influencers. And I could go to, you know, 5 influencers who only have 10,000 followers, and I could go to 5 influencers who have 60,000 followers, and it doesn't really, I don't like nix you if you have a small following.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
No, I think that's really important. And I hope everyone makes it this far into the episode to learn that, because I feel like that's like a golden nugget, and that could really make or break someone even wanting to reach out to the brands themselves. And that's the last thing I really wanted to ask you was, Like, if you're a nano influencer and you want to start doing this, like, you got to start somewhere. And I know there's a lot of third party apps and different ways to like get opportunities like this, but I wanted to hear your opinion on if someone with a smaller following reaches out to a brand, like, how receptive are they, and do they really take the time to listen to what you have to say, you know?
Yeah, so again, I can't speak on behalf of all of the brands out there. There are so many.
Right.
But again, I've worked with a lot, and all brands have different approaches. Brands will respond to you if you're a nano influencer. I receive inquiries from influencers who have under 10K followers all the time. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. For example, there's an influencer who reached out on behalf of one of the food brands that I work with. She's a recipe developer and she has like 5,000 followers. And she's a really strong recipe developer. She's a really strong photographer. So, and she, her category, her followers are within the wellness community, which is very much in line with the product. And so she's a shoo-in to work with because she really fits the bill. Yeah. Whereas somebody with 200,000 followers could reach out and I could say, oh, sorry, you're not the right fit because you might not be in the right niche. You could have a low engagement rate. There could be a million reasons. So again, I would not let your follower count, even if it's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,000, discourage you from reaching out to brands because, you know, we're looking for different things. Sometimes we're looking for high quality photos. Sometimes we're looking to see if you create really engaging reels that get a lot of views. Sometimes we're looking for you to create content that then the brand can repost on their channel. So we're less concerned with how many followers you have because we just want to make sure your content is really cool.
Yeah.
There's brands use content for so many different reasons. So I would encourage you, even if you have 800 followers, be like, hey, like reach out to a brand because there could be room for you in their budget. And another tip that I've shared in my videos that I think is really important specifically to reaching out to brands is when you reach out to brands, there's a few things to do and not to do. One of the things I always share is make sure you spell the brand's name correctly. Yeah. Because there are so many times that I receive pitch emails from influencers and they misspell the brand's name.
And you're like, what?
If you were a real fan, you would spell it right.
Right, yeah.
And I also encourage people when they write a pitch email to make it as personal as possible. I can certainly tell when the emails are copy and pasted, if they're a template. And it doesn't mean I won't work with you, but try to make it, you know, authentic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also encourage people to, you know, show how you see yourself working with a brand. So if you want to work with a skincare brand and you, when your email, you should say, I love using your products. Every morning I put it on my face. Every night I use this cleanser that is from your brand. I have my mom using your brand, or just like tell a story or say, you know, I saw a recent campaign that you guys did for the holidays. I thought it was so cool. Just like maybe talk about a recent campaign they did or how you use their product.
Yeah.
And then also share, this is how I see myself working with you guys. I'd love to create, you know, a monthly Instagram story series where I showcase your brand and I swipe up to your brand's website, or I do a giveaway, and kind of just show them that you're thinking strategically of how you see yourself working with the brand. So those are my tips specifically for reaching out. And I know I get a lot of questions about that, so I wanted to dive a little bit deep on that.
Yeah, that's so important. And I'm glad that it's at the end because they'll be able to get all your tips and then get all the gold at the end of the rainbow right here, because that is so not even just like good, but it's definitely inspirational. For like, I've even wondered of like, well, I'd love to have like something that's like sponsored or like, and it like be able to do something like that because I love doing this and it's definitely a hobby, but I've created merch and done stuff on my own, which like is turning into this whole separate thing that I feel like, yes, it is related to the podcast, but it's its own thing. And that doesn't even have to do with any of the work I do on my podcast. So it's just really nice to be able to hear from you as someone that is actively recruiting people just like me and my listeners to what we can accomplish. And so I just want to thank you so much. Was there anything else you wanted to cover right before we finish? Because this was amazing.
No, I don't think so. I definitely would encourage you to check out my TikTok.
Yes.
There's a lot of free just tips out there. So yeah, definitely check that out. I would say it's my best advice, because I just want to help people. And if you're listening and you have any video ideas for me, again, I just do this for fun. You can always DM me your ideas. You can comment on a post. So I love creating videos that I know are what people are looking for too.
Yeah. And I'm going to be linking all of Christina's links in the description. And also, I am so excited that this Thursday, and you said 7 p.m. Eastern, correct?
8 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Eastern. Okay, I had 7 because I'm in Central, so I was thinking my time zone already. All right, well, I will definitely be on your Clubhouse. I'm going to set the reminder to go on your Clubhouse this Thursday, because I don't utilize it enough, and I think this would be so fun to tune into. So
yeah,
I look forward to that.
I'm so excited for you to join. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll see how this week's episode goes.
Yeah. And it might even be, I feel like the few times I've used Clubhouse, it's been a very good networking opportunity and to find people that would even want to come on the podcast and do stuff like that too. So I'm super excited to listen to that, and everyone tune into Christina's Clubhouse if you have Clubhouse. If you don't have Clubhouse, I have a bunch of invitations, so DM me and I can send you an invitation so you can join the fun. But thank you so much again for coming on, and yeah, thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks everyone for listening, and I'll be back next week with a new episode. Bye.